Psalm 23 once again. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you do lead us along. And many times as we see in your word, we'll see from the message this morning, you do lead us through valleys. And we need them. And God, we thank you for your leading hand. I ask for the filling of your spirit to preach and teach your word this morning. I pray for my dear wife also. Fill her with your spirit and help her as she relays the message in sign. Thank you for the word that's gone forth in the Sunday school hour already, and help us to be the citizens, to live according to the gospel as we should, citizens of heaven, citizens of this United States, but all the putting you first and being examples that we should be. God, I thank you for each one here. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to every heart, encourage us. Dear God, this world is not our final home. Might our hearts be, might we learn to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Increase our faith and help us to do that solidly and zealously. And Father, work in every heart. May your word go forth from this place ever by your grace to point the lost to salvation and believers to sanctification in you. Help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Messages like this, and probably most, are not easy for the flesh to go through and to realize and recognize. How easy is it to accept we need sorrows? Frankly, we do, to grow in the Lord. And we'll see that it is an instrument necessary in the hands of the great physician to draw us closer to him. And in this life, there's plenty of valleys, isn't there? There's a lot of valleys. We ought to yearn for heaven. You know, even when we're on the mountaintop, somebody else is in the valley. When my health's great, somebody else is not. When your financial situation's great, somebody else's is not. When your relationships are wonderful, and you've been protected in many ways, somebody else has suffered some things. And many of those somebody else's are Christians, amen? Because this is a place where Satan is the god of this world. And while we may be enjoy the freedoms that we have here in the United States, the others that are suffering just for being Christians every day. If for no one else, for them, we ought to be longing for heaven, amen? And realizing, listen, heaven's what's going to be best for all believers. Of course, we want to reach those. God will come when the time is right. Our Lord will come. Till then, let's live for him. Let's reach out for others. And remember those that are suffering. The valley of the shadow of death. Philip Keller,
I mentioned I'm using his book
in this message, and he notes that a shepherd he sees the whole psalm as the yearly paths that a shepherd travels in caring for his sheep. And he says this portion of the psalm marks a midway point in the year as the shepherd cares for his sheep. The first portion of the psalm illustrates the winter and spring grazing, in which the sheep are close to home. In the first portion, it is as though the sheep are bragging to less fortunate flocks around them about the wonderful care and provision of their glorious shepherd. By the way, don't worry about the overhead. It's probably about 1/4 of the message today. I won't even get to the points till the end, and it'll be quick when we get to the end, all right? But the first part is like the sheep, you know, are kind of bragging about their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. By the way, did you know it's okay to brag? Some of us don't brag enough. What do you say? What are you talking about, preacher? Let me finish. Psalm 34:2, my soul shall make what? Her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Go ahead and brag about God. Let's not brag about ourselves. Let's brag about God. Amen. We know the Savior of the world, the only one whereby you can get to heaven through Him. That's it. So when it comes to faith, we can brag about ours. Amen. Because it's the only one that gives life. And Paul exhorted us, 2 Corinthians 10:17, but he that glorieth, what? Let him glory in the Lord. Go ahead. Boast about Jesus. Some of us don't brag enough. Boast about Jesus. What he's done for you. How he's provided for you. How he's guided you. How he cares for you. The hope he's given you. The salvation he's given you. Boast about Jesus. And it seems like that's what the first part of this psalm, these sheep are doing about that shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That poor world out there, they're starving to death. Why? Because their shepherd hates them, the God of this world. He's just abusing and using them. Not so with my shepherd and your shepherd, though, those that are born again. We have a wonderful shepherd, and we can brag on him. That first portion there, he kind of likens them to doing that. And he says, it's like the spring and or the fall and winter of the where the sheep are down in the home area. He says during the summer, as the snow begins to retreat, or that maybe it was winter and spring, two seasons at home, two seasons away. during the summer, as the snow begins to retreat up the mountainsides, it becomes time for the shepherd to move his flocks upwards to the newly exposed and now flourishing alpine meadows and pastures. The sheep may be a little hesitant to leave the comfort and the protection of the home pastures. At times, the shepherd may have to switch from leading them to driving them a bit in order to keep them on the move up the slopes. These drives can be long and difficult. There can be flash floods, predators, poisonous plants, difficult terrains. But the shepherd has already gone before the sheep and searched out the way. He is fully aware of the way, and he knows that the nourishment that awaits them on those tablelands, on those upper pastures that awaits them in the mountain heights, they need it. Those pastures down now in the shepherd's home area have been well grazed and grazed over. And the time to graze in the mountain pastures is limited. They've got to get up there and graze. if they're going to have the health and the strength the shepherd wants them to have. He notes that this is the time as the shepherd, when the shepherd leaves the home pasture, he travels with the sheep, moving up the mountainside and living with the flock. He suggested that maybe that's what David was doing when he wasn't around, when his brothers were being brought before Samuel to see who was going to be king. David might have been up in the mountain pastures there. So he leaves and lives with the flock. This is the most intimate time the shepherd has with his flock. He leads and moves them up the slopes as gently as possible. He knows it's difficult for him at times, but he knows he needs that they need that nourishment that they'll gain there. But listen, they have the very present and watchful eye of the shepherd with them all along the way. It's sometimes a dangerous trip, but he goes with them. And it's a close, intimate time. Notice the shift in pronouns. The shepherd was spoken of in the third person up until this point. Now we see the second person. It was like the first part of the psalm was like a sheep bragging about his shepherd. But now it's like the sheep directly speaking to the shepherd. It's a close communion. Lord is my shepherd. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here it is. For thou art with me. It's a direct communion there now with the shepherd. And it's a close time with the shepherd and his sheep. You might be wondering why the psalm, if we're talking about going up the mountainside, why the psalm speaks of the valley of the shadow of death, if the sheep are being led up the mountainside. He makes a good point, and I think it's entirely possible and seems probable as we finish the rest of the psalm. The only way for the sheep get to the mountaintops is through what? The various valleys and draws that descend down the mountain. The best way up the mountain is through the valleys and the draws that come down the mountain. And we realize that. We have to, we live here in Oregon, we've got, you know, the Cascades on one side, and the coastals on the other, and mountains about. And oftentimes when you're going across the mountains, what are you following? Oftentimes you look to the right or left, and what's on? It's a river. You're actually following a valley up through the mountain. Why? Because it's the way up there, and that's how we get to the top, is through the valleys. You know, we think about Christians, and we sing these songs about higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. Those Satan's darts at me are hurled. Faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lift me up. Let me stand. By faith on heaven's tableland. That's coming in the psalm. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We think about that. And as we yearn for this higher ground, this closer fellowship, many often make the mistake of thinking somehow we're going to be airlifted to it. Somehow it's going to be, like Scotty, beam me up, dating myself there. Some people are going, well, most of us here probably know. There's no elevator. There's no
revolving, there's no escalators. There's no airlift up to those heights.
We have to take the valleys and the draws for our shepherd to get us to the top. It's the only way to get sheep to the top, to the higher plains, to the higher grounds, is through the valley.
I don't pray for valleys in my life. And I hope you don't either.
But I try to receive them humbly when God brings them. And we need to recognize the value of them. What is this valley of the shadow of death? Well, I think it's just that. As I've studied it, we find this shadow of death, this term 18 times in the Bible. And 18 times we find it. And twice in the Old Testament it's referred to. Twice in the New Testament. In Hebrews, I'm looking at the wrong place here, getting ahead of myself. But it speaks of a difficult times in life when we're tempted to fear for our health and well-being. It seems like that's what David was addressing. We all we fear that the approach of death. And if the Lord tarries, we'll all face that. It may be perhaps for many the deepest and darkest valley of all. And it seems, as I've studied it, that pretty much everywhere you find it, especially in the Old Testament, which is the multitude of the times, very well talking and comparing to that approaching of death and the hard things that come with that. Mankind has feared death for a long time. Hebrews 2:14, that Christ came and partook of flesh and blood. He himself also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. God knows about that valley. He knows about the fear that we sense in that valley. And Jesus says, I want to come and deliver you from that fear. I want to deliver you from that fear. Some fear death because of the unknown. Maybe they don't have faith. They don't know the word of God, what comes after. Some fear death because they do know those things and they're not saved. And they fear the judgment of facing an almighty God. Some fear it just, again, because it's unknown. They're not believers. And it's fearful. It's an unknown thing. I don't know what's going to happen. My heart's going to stop beating. I don't like that, the idea of that. And they fear it in that way. But Jesus came to deliver us from that fear. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. And there is a judgment. Jesus said in Matthew 25:46, just pointing out two different judgments. These should go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And those are the two choices, folks. That's it. But look at what Christ came to deliver us from. The unknown, the uncertainty. Oh, we know. He's told us. We know what's following. Well, the fear of judgment and condemnation. Why? You can be saved and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be delivered. Well, the fear of just dying. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die, Jesus said. See, it's just that he's with us through that. And thank God, in Matthew 4:13 is one of the places we find the shadow of death. It's only two times in the New Testament. He said, the Bible says, Jesus leaving Nazareth came and dwelt in Capernaum, and he dwelt by the seacoast, it goes on to say there, and that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. What is he saying there?
Well, Galilee of the Gentiles, there was
that in Capernaum there, in the church that was started there, and there were many,
and Jews as well. What? Who weren't saved? Who didn't know the light of the gospel?
Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. He came to turn the light on. It doesn't have to be unknown. You don't have to fear judgment. You don't have to fear that it's the end. And you can look at, and I can look at that valley differently. And we should. We should look in faith toward our Lord.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What? For thou art with me.
What a blessing. He came to remove that greatest fear of all mankind, to save us.
How can you do that? 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self, that's Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Did you get that? Past tense. God took care of your judgment on Calvary, and it was applied to your account that very moment you trusted him. And it's done. As far as being separated from God in judgment, you are healed because of Jesus.
Praise God. He came to remove that fear.
He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
I'm so glad he bare my sin, so that I could stand before him clothed in his own righteousness.
How can we fear we're not going to be accepted when we're clothed in his righteousness?
Amen. What a confidence he's given us to have. God, he came to take that fear of death away. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And that chapter ends, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And it ends, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I echo that. Thank you, Lord, for that deliverance. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said, looking in the face of Mary as she wept over her brother Lazarus, who had passed away but would rise again. Twice, by the way. Say, I guarantee he'll enjoy the second one a lot better. Probably a little upset he had to go through the first one. He was probably talking to his sisters about that. But we walk. Listen, we walk through the valley. I like that. You see, the valley of the shadow of death, it's not a box canyon. It's not the end. It's a valley. Yet I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
And it's a shadow. I don't know if I can make a shadow in here or not. See if I can use Anna's book and make a shadow on Brother Charlie. Is there a shadow there? Is there a shadow there? Yeah, you can see it coming up there. Watch out, Brother Charlie. That shadow is going to hit you. Watch out. Didn't you feel anything? Why? It's just a shadow. See, a shadow can't hurt you. It may look ugly. It may look big. But the fact is, a shadow can't hurt you. That's what Christ did
to death for you and me. And we can rejoice in that. You say, well, preacher,
thanks a lot for that, but it's not the being dead that I'm afraid of, it's the process before that. It's the dying. Okay, I'm with you there. I'll join you on that one.
But listen, when he says that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that Hebrew word there in the tense has the idea of suggesting the process preliminary to its completion. So it's talking about the valley you're walking in before you would physically die. And we already know that that's not the completion for us. But it's the valley you walked, it is that valley that we're fearing. It's the valley we walk through before we actually physically die. And by the way, that it could also apply to any dangerous valley where our physical being is if we feel threatened, maybe even great financial loss, great emotional stress with relationships, whatever it might be, it could be a dark valley in that sense. He's with us through that. Through those things. All the dark valleys that seem to threaten us, he's near to comfort us. Thou art with me. What did Jesus say? Lo, disciples are to be, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And here it is. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And amen. Amen for that.
Let your conversation, that's your life, be without covetousness. Don't think that material things and are the key to happiness. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. By the way, that's riches. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We need those valleys. Did you notice in the first part of the psalm? The green pastures, the still waters, I shall not want. But look at the second part. Thou art with me. I have you. You see, as Christians, we start out our lives much of the time looking at the blessings more than the blesser. We get saved, and all of a sudden, like Brother Dennis shared that illustration this morning, a Christian, a professed Christian, having financial problems, and they haven't been in church and following the will of God during those things. And pretty soon they get in church and they start following the will of God and being faithful in the church and tithing and giving as the Lord directs. And pretty soon, lo and behold, their finances are straightened out. Wonderful! But that's just a blessing from the blesser. You see, we've prayed and rejoiced as people were healed and praying for. We know of folks that have been healed because of prayer through the prayers of God's people. Thank you. Those are wonderful blessings, but they're just the blessings. They're not the blesser. And for a good portion, and it's necessary. I think God uses us to encourage us about his power and his abilities. To care for us. But we have to get to higher ground, folks. When should I be faithful to God? Just when all my money situation's okay? Just when my health's okay? Just when all's going well? Just when he answers my prayer and delivers me in my tough times the way I think I should be delivered. Is that when do I have conditions in which, where I'll follow God and be a disciple for him? He didn't have any conditions when he died for me. He spilled it all out, didn't he? What should I hold back? What right do I have to demand anything of God?
Yet God is leading us to higher ground. Through the valleys. Many times it's not until a Christian goes through some dark valley that he discovers he can find comfort in the very presence of the Lord himself. My wife recently went through a very hard physical time for about 2 weeks, and you know the details of that. It's hard. I'm glad she's doing better. She's still got some things they're checking into, but I learned some things in that valley. I was praying, God, take it away, God, take it away, God, take it away, God, take it away, but nevertheless, your will be done, and I meant that. But all my heart wanted it just to be better. But God brought us through that, and God made some changes in my heart that needed to be made. And I wouldn't have seen that without those valleys. I wouldn't have seen that. I needed him to lead me through that valley to a higher ground in my own spiritual life. Am I going to be willing to accept? Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take what as from a father's hand. Job said, shall we receive good from the Lord and not evil? I think he was pretty spiritual. How about you? See, this isn't it's not an easy message for the flesh. If for me to be on this higher ground, there's going to have to be valleys ahead. And we're going to have to go through them. But here's the thing. We don't have to go through them alone. It says he goes through them with us. That we'll be drawn closer to him. I was listening to an evangelist preaching as I was exercising this week. And his name's John Getch. And he said this. He said, without problems in life, we would never know God's presence. Without the way he wants us to. Without problems in life, we'd never know his protection the way he wants us to. Without problems in life, we'd never know his provision the way he wants us to. Without problems and valleys in life, we'd never know his power the way he wants us to. See, he really is the shepherd. And we really are the sheep. He knows what he's doing. And by the way, he knows where he's leading us. Think about the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That means that's hitting with a closed fist. Lest I should be exalted above measure. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. And I think Paul was speaking figuratively there. He says, I felt like I was getting beat up by this infirmity. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect on the mountaintop. No, what did he say? In weakness. In your valleys. In the valleys that I lead. Oh, I want to be stronger in the Lord. Yeah, and so do I. And so does God want you to be. That's why the valleys are coming for you. And for me. So we'll be strengthened in him. We'll find his strength. It's valleys that tear our hearts out. And makes us pour ourselves out to God. And not hold things back. Amen. And that's what God wants. He gave me all of him. He wants all of me and all of you. And listen to Paul. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You want to hear some higher ground, folks? Here we go. Most gladly. Not just gladly. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather what? Glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, here it is, folks. I don't think he's lying. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. That's higher ground. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, what? Then am I strong. Because it's when I'm in that valley that I really pour it all out. And when I really pour it all out, it's then when my God says, okay, here's my hand. Here's my hand to be with you and to help you. Paul had those struggles. So here's the points. Point number one. We don't have to fear the valley. Point number one, because of his compassion. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You go through the valley, John 13:34. Jesus says, this new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. What do we need in a deep valley? We need to know somebody loves us. And by the way, thou art with me. Thou art with me. He understands. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. First Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for what? He careth for you. And that word has the idea of actually the emotional type, the concern for someone. Caring can also mean the actual ministry. But there it has the idea of that inward concern for you and for me. John 11:35 always amazes me. Jesus wept. Right before he was going to do what? Raise Lazarus from the dead. They're all weeping because he's dead. They wish Jesus could have made it there. They gave him an advance notice. Apparently they thought he could have been there earlier. Lazarus was dead 4 days by the time he got there. And they're all weeping. And Jesus wept with them. Why? Because he put this on. The likeness of sinful flesh. See, all men are sinners. He looked like a sinner because he was a man. But he wasn't a sinner. But he put on this flesh so he could experience what you and I go through. When you're going through a valley, we not only find his comfort, we are able to comfort others who go through that valley later. Amen. And by the way, he's been through the valleys and he's able to comfort us. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. We sing. John 13:1. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew his hour was come. Bible says the end of the verse, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. His care is with his compassion is with us, going through our valleys. What else do we see? Point number two, his care is with us. This is the work that he's doing in this valley. He'll keep us through this valley. I will feel no evil because for thou art with me. We are kept out by the power of God. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time. I'm thankful my God keeps me. Saving, keeping love it was that found me. I wouldn't cross the street for a salvation that I could lose before I got back across the street again. Yeah. Why would you? Because I'd lose it. He keeps us. Oh, look at Philippians 4:6. How precious is this in the valley? Be careful for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. By the way, how do you know when you have that? When you had no other reason to have peace. It's in the valleys when God gives you that peace. When you can't see how everything's going to be okay. That's when you know that you have the peace that passes all understanding. Because that's when your peace is coming. You're like that sheep. I just know you're with me. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know where this is going. But you're with me. And I have that hope. Because of his care. And what did Paul find out there at the end of verse 9? My strength is made perfect in weakness. He found that strength in the midst of that weakness. He cried out to God. He needed that. He cried out, he cried out, he cried out, and it wouldn't go away. God said, you need it. His care. You see, he was caring for Paul. Paul, when he talked about that illness that he had, he said, he was given that, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations that was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And that term there, lest I should be exalted above measure, in the wording there, in the Greek there, the voice of that word means, lest I should be exalted by myself above measure. Paul said, lest I get proud, is what he was saying. This came, lest I get proud. Who was looking out after him? His shepherd. He needed that valley to keep him from pride. Paul himself said to Timothy, when he was going to be looking for prospective elders and pastors of churches, he says, he's to be not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. According to Paul's own words, had he gotten proud, he could have what? Fell into the condemnation of the devil. And Paul's good shepherd would say, I got plans for you. I have an expected end for you. By the way, that's what he's aiming for you and me. And you need this valley. Because it's going to keep you from your pride, which would cause you to fall. And he realized that. That's why he said, I'm going to glory in it. I take full pleasure in them. Because I know what my shepherd's doing. Thirdly, I told you they were going to go fast. You didn't believe me, did you? His control. His control. This is why we can find comfort just because he's with us in the valley. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Anything God allows in your life, however bad it may seem to you, has already been measured very carefully by God. And God has already determined that where you're at in your Christian life, you can come through that without sinning against Him. Whether He takes it away or just brings you through it. He's already made that determination. Well, I don't know if I can hit. You can handle it if it's in your life and you're a Christian. God's already made that determination. The question is, will I turn to Him? Will you turn to Him? See, He's controlling that. Remember those brothers of Joseph? We're going to get rid of him. What was Joseph's final words? You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Watch God turn it around. How can this be good? The world's attacking me. What good could come from this? Watch God turn it around. See, if He'd allowed it, He knows what He's doing. He's the shepherd. I like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm getting ahead of myself. The shepherd's with us. He's able. He watches over us. Look at 1 Peter 1:6. Wherein you rejoice, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, what's the three words? If need be. If I have a valley in my life, guess what? I need it. You say, well, preacher, what if it's a chastisement from God because you disobeyed, and you wouldn't have had that chastisement if you hadn't disobeyed? Okay, point taken. But the fact is, if that's the case, then I disobeyed and I need that chastisement. You see what I'm saying? So whatever it is in your life or my life, if it's a valley, we need it. And God knows it. And we can look to Him through it. Amen? We can look to Him through it. And then fourthly, well, I want to finish this here. If need be. If need be, we're in heaviness, some valley, through manifold temptations, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Remember last week I talked about people dying and people looking at death as the end and saying, well, when you die, what are you going to... You're not going to regret. When you die, you're not going to say, well, I wished I worked more at the office. You know, we talked about things that you're not going to say when you die. When people talk about that, they say, when you die, you're going to wish you spent maybe more time with your family or you're more faithful here and there. They're deeper things that if you... Well, when I die, I wish I'd just been a better person, whatever. I wish I'd served God more. Those are the kinds of things that you think of. But that's a wrong focus because you're looking at death. Where's God looking at? The next step. That's you and I before Christ. That's what God's aiming at. Look what Paul says. He says, if need be, when he says that your faith might be tried and find precious as gold, might be found in the praise and honor at the glory and appearing of Jesus Christ. Just so that when you're dead and you're finished, you'll feel... That's what Paul's talking about. He said, Jesus is doing this to get you ready for the judgment seat of Christ. Or when you see Him, whether it be the rapture, or whether it be that you know you die and your spirit goes to be with Him, He's getting you ready to meet Him. It doesn't end in death, folks. We have to go decimally... Look at a staircase. Death is only one step in that staircase. And it's not the end. And your staircase and my staircase as believers ends before Jesus Christ. Amen. And He's getting us ready for that. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad He's thinking about that because, you know, frankly, sometimes I forget about that. I need to be reminded. He doesn't forget about that. That's always His end goal, to get you and I ready to meet Him. And then fourthly, finally, His consolation. I'll fear no evil, thou art with me. Evil, that term means wickedness. It means harm. It means something grievous, bad, evil. We all know Romans 8:28. We know that what? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. God doesn't have thoughts of evil toward you, believer. He's not trying to torture you and I in some way just to see how we'll do. He has a good place. He has a higher ground He's taking us to spiritually. As a young baby Christian, we might only have joy when we're not sick. We might only have joy when the job is going well. We might only have joy when everybody's being nice and kind to us as a little baby Christian. But God's saying, okay, I'm going to move you up the valleys now. And now we're going to take you to a place where the circumstances aren't so good. And you're still going to have that joy. And you're still going to have that hope as you grow. As you grow. That consolation. Thanks be to God, but give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's with us. What's the worst thing that can happen to you as a Christian? You will die and go to heaven. That's the worst thing that can happen to you and to me. See, every mountain's has its valleys. You talk about living on the mountain. Every mountain has its valleys. Its sides, Philip Keller writes, its sides are scarred with deep ravines, gulches, and draws, and the way to the top is always through these valleys. That's where our God is leading us. That's why Paul could write in Romans 5:3, not only so, we glory in what? Tribulations. Those are valleys, folks. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That sounds like higher ground, doesn't it? And wasn't James saying the same thing? On the Holy Spirit saying the same thing, only through James's words? My brethren, James 1:2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting in nothing. Holy Spirit saying the same thing through James's words. That's where God's leading us. Higher ground. That's higher ground. Closing with this thought. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, by the way, he was pretty smart, I'd say. God said he was, so I feel comfortable saying that. Ecclesiastes 7:2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Ecclesiastes 7:4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. What are you saying, preacher? We ought to just be in a weary situation in a valley and just be struggling all the time to know that we're spiritually headed upward. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we need to recognize the value of those valleys and what God is doing. What Solomon was saying in Ecclesiastes when he said, better to dwell in the house of mourning than the house of feasting, that's the end of all flesh. And the living shall take it to his heart. Listen, success is a lousy teacher. The ease is a lousy teacher. When are those times when we learn about God's presence? It's in the valleys, isn't it? By the way, when did the mountaintops come? After the valleys. Don't they? And what comes after the mountaintops? The valleys. You can't have mountaintops without valleys. And God's saying, rejoice in your blessings. He says that in Ecclesiastes, your law that God gives you. Rejoice. Enjoy with the wife of thy youth all the days of your life. Enjoy what God gives you. But remember this. The most important lessons are when you never forget the sorrows of this life and its vanity. And being ever mindful of that, you set your heart on things above. And you value spiritual things more than things on this earth. Let me lead you through those valleys. Never forget what God can do through sorrows. I would be totally happy, totally fulfilled, totally full, I believe, of God's presence if I just had perfect health and my finances were well and I could, you know, see my needs met for years ahead. Okay? Which do you think you'd be spiritually richer? If you're perfectly full and joyful without those things? Or if you felt, or you could only be sense the Spirit of God's presence with you if you have those things? Which do you think is higher ground? It's obvious, isn't it? It's a rhetorical question. It's obvious when you can rejoice in your trials that you have spiritual, that God is working through you. That you're walking with, that's obvious, it's an obvious thing.
And God is saying,
see, it's really so plain. It's so plain it's scary.
Where God's leading us.
And he says, I want you to be ready for it. If you're wanting to grow. If you're wanting to be a disciple. See, because those pastures down there at the home, homeland, those winter and spring pastures down there, they're overgrazed now. It's time to move on. See, we'll graze for a while on how much God provides, and we take it in, how much God can do for me, and we go back and forth in those pastures. But folks, they get overgrazed after a while. And God says, okay, now I'm going to take you through some valleys. Because there's some pastures up here I have for you. And these valleys aren't easy, but they take you to higher ground. And more pastures. More pastures of the soul. And the closest with our shepherd. Higher ground indeed. I went through that psalm studying and praying this week, and like I said, my flesh really didn't like it. Because I know that I have more valleys coming in my life. Some of you are in some deep valleys right now. And there's nothing more that you need than to know your Savior's with you. There's nothing more you need than that. And he's saying this. No, don't look for something material. No, don't look at some circumstance to change. I got my arms wide open. Why don't you call on me and ask me to comfort you and show you my glory just because I'm with you. By the way, when you're happy just because Jesus is with you, what can the devil do to you? He's got nothing left to take away. He can't take away Jesus. Amen. And that's where he's leading us. That's where he's leading us. Amen. And by the way, I'm still going through those valleys and learning right along with you, brethren. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have loved us and cared for us, and you continue that. God, we think of the sufferings of Christ, and we are to take up our cross and follow you. And there's going to be valleys ahead for us. There's valleys now. But Lord, we're not like the world. We're not supposed to look at them as though something strange happened to us. They're in your plan. They are thought out by you. They are prepared for us, for our spiritual growth, and that we might be full of the fruits of the Spirit. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, help me, to look at valleys differently when they come into my life, when they come into our lives, Father. Help us to view them like Paul did, to realize there's a spiritual growth to look forward to rejoice, as Paul and James both wrote, by your Spirit, pondering what you might do through them, how we might draw closer to you, how we might sense your presence, God, with us in a way that we can't explain, but so desperately need. Oh God, there's nothing that can take the place of knowing you're there and that you're enough. And there are folks in our church, and all of us need to come to that place. And there are folks that need that. And we all need that. Help us, Lord, in these things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just paused for a moment to think of your suffering. And you did that for the joy that was set before you. The suffering wasn't the end. It was for a cause that is so joyful words can't explain, that souls might be saved, lives might be changed, we might have eternal fellowship with you in heaven one day. Thank you, Jesus. Help now your church and do in our hearts, Father, what we can't do. Lead us in the valleys you have for us, and lead us to the higher ground you have for us, and help us to rejoice in the spiritual growth and strength that you'll give us along the way as you lead us to these higher pastures. And Father, help us to glorify your name in them. We do pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.